love to see Roger here today. I've been visiting Roger in hospital and also at home, and I told him what I was going to share this morning, and he's asked me to share this, which I've looked at, and I think it's absolutely brilliant, and it really fits in. So this is something that Roger Bellis has put together, which totally ties in with what I'm preaching on today, and then I'll go into my message. The purpose of the church, worship and witness. Luke 24:48 says, "You are witnesses of these things." Acts 1:8 says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." A community with purpose. An analogy. The scene is a small warship, the purpose anti-submarine frigate. All company, Sunday AM, all company in deck. Number one uniform, gold badges, united on parade. But the purpose is to hunt submarines and repel air attack. Six men to serve, 4 to 5 anti-aircraft gun. Ops room, around 2 dozen men plotting positions to provide target opportunities. Quartermaster on the wheel, engine room mechanics in place. Captain on the bridge with watch officer, directing course and speed. Galley on duty to provide sustenance, lookouts and depth charge teams in place. In action, each with a separate and unique calling, all trained and equipped. This mirrors the church in action. Each calling is different, but all equipped by the Holy Spirit. We need each of us to recognize our individual call. The Bible says, faithful he called you, he also will do it. In my analogy, if part of the team is not there, the whole purpose is likely to fail, plus the ship is actually open to loss. Thank you for that. And that's something to reflect on here, because what I'm talking about today is my title is Leave, Remain, The Problem's the Same, The Answer is Found in Jesus' Name. Can we move that forward, please, because I can't do it here. Why is it not on? There we go. Leave, Remain, The Problem's the Same, The Answer is Found in Jesus' Name. Honestly, that's what I think. I think the answer is we are the answer to the world. Us out there, Christ in us is the answer. I'm not going to get political at all. One little bit. But at the moment, we are in troubled times. And I would say, don't worry, the answer is not to be found in this political party or that political party. The answer is found in the Bible, in the Holy Spirit, working through the church out there in the community. We are the answer. The only people that can put this problem right in Romsey, Southampton, or whoever, are Christians who are following God. And I'm just going into a bit of detail on that. I'm going to read Romans 10:5-18. Moses writes about the righteousness that's based on the law, that the person who does the commandment shall live by them. But the righteousness based on faith says, "Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven?" That's to bring Christ down. "Or who will descend into the abyss?" That's to bring him up from the dead. But what does it say? "The word is near you, in your mouth, in your heart. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there's no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls in the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him who they've not believed? And how will they believe in him who they've not heard? And how are they heard to hear without someone preaching? And how will they to preach unless they are sent? As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach good news. But they've not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. And I'll leave it there at number 17. So I would say today that according to this, the answer to the world and the answer to us is just Jesus. Absolutely. Am I worried about the future? No. Am I worried about how the political scene will work out? What happens at the end of the month? Well, there's going to be concerns because some people have financial issues, some people have political allegiances and stuff, but really, I'm not that bothered because what I see in the Bible is a group of people who, through political turmoil, allowed the Holy Spirit in them to affect the people next door and affect the people around them. We have the answer, the absolute answer. This is a story of four people named Everybody's somebody, anybody and nobody. There was an important job to be done and everybody was asked to do it. Anybody could have done it, but nobody did it. Somebody got angry about that because it was everybody's job. Everybody thought that nobody could do it, but nobody realised that everybody wouldn't do it. Consequently, it wound up that nobody told anybody, so everybody blamed somebody. And if you've left that behind and got confused by now, so did I about 10 minutes ago. But the point being that God has, I would say, that the Christian faith we follow, in a nutshell, is itself the answer. It's not the case that God's causing us to be holy, but he'll let the politicians deal with the world. God is causing us to be part of that political scene, part of that prayer scene, part of the school scene. Whatever it is that you're in, God is calling us to do that. In my job as a minister, I quite often get asked to do funerals for people outside of the church, people connected with the family. And there's one particular family connected with a family in the church, which three and a half years ago, I was asked to do the funeral of a man who died. And it connected me with the particular family. And some people in that family are Christians and some of them aren't. So I got to know the family quite well and the children and everything. And then a bit later, this man's wife's father passed away. And then recently, the man himself, his mother passed away. And so they wanted me to do the funeral each time. And it's incredible. And I did the funeral on Friday. And this lady, I literally don't know whether she's still in the faith. I believe she had a Christian belief, but towards the end became very confused because she suffered very gracefully with dementia, as happens to some people. But I saw it to me as a tremendous honour and privilege of speaking out to these people. Time and time again, I've stood at the front of a crematorium or a church, people who don't see me, and I thought, I've got them. And I started off with how sad people feel. You start off with a tribute. Then you go, look at John 14, 1 to 12. Talk about the fact that, Jesus talks about the fact that he's about to leave and they're all sad, but he said, in my Father's house. And I spoke to them and I said, I never used to believe this, but I do now. And I was drawing them all in. And afterwards, people come up and saying, that's brilliant. I've never seen it like that before. I've never understood it. I've got a Bible at home, but I've never understood it. I'm thinking, what a privilege, God, that you have given me personally to be this light in the world and to be the answer that people need. I would never have thought years ago that I'd have opened up to that particular group of people that live 7, 8, 9, 10 miles away from here, middle of Wiltshire. I'm not very good on geography, but it's amazing. And now somebody came up and said, when my daughters get married, I'd like you to do the wedding. Or when my son gets married, if he chooses to do that, I'd like you to do it. And I think, God, you have taken me, somebody who didn't know those, who lived in the Christian bubble, who isn't particularly brilliant at witnessing, and you've enabled me to be a difference in their family. And it was tremendous. Now I've got this, all these people I've met, and loads of them will say, that guy, I don't believe in God, but he's the guy that could convince me for doing that. I believe that the answer to everything that we see around us, the answer you see, the answer to what's going on in the House of Commons and everything else, is Jesus through us. But we've got to listen to him. Verse 15, and how are they to preach unless they're sent? As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. I know of a man who was quite an elderly man, and he was quite lonely. He didn't have many friends. A lot of his family had died, and he didn't think much of himself. Maybe the pressures of life had hit him to such a degree that he no longer saw himself as being important. And his clothes weren't brilliant, and he didn't have too much money. And he went along to a supermarket not far from here in Southampton, probably about a year ago more, and he was about to pay for his food. And a woman walked up to him and said, God has told me to pay for all that. I'm going to pay for it all now, and God has told me to pay for it, and he wants you to know that he absolutely loves you. Now, we know who that woman is because it's somebody that we know. I'm not going to tell you. It's nobody in this room. Because she wouldn't want to get glory for herself. But she was that morning saying, God, how can I bless somebody when I go out today? So the Holy Spirit said that. She went out and did it. And consequently, this guy now, she's actually said she's seen him again and there. And maybe, who knows what will happen. But I believe the real answer, the real loving, on fire, absolute accurate answer to everything from heaven is God working through us. A man called Leighton Ford, a preacher, said, "I was speaking at an open-air crusade in Nova Scotia. Billy Graham was to speak the next night and had arrived a day earlier. He came incognito and sat on the grass at the rear of the crowd. Because he was wearing a hat and dark glasses deliberately, nobody recognized him. Directly in front of him sat an elderly gentleman who seemed to be listening intently to my presentation. But when I invited people to come forward as an open sign of commitment, Billy Graham decided to do a little bit of personal evangelism at the back. Remember, he had his time to preach was the following day. So Billy was in the crowd and he tapped the man on the shoulder and asked, 'Would you like to accept Christ now? I'll be glad to walk down with you if you do. If you want to.' The old man looked at him and down and thought it over a moment. He said, 'No, I think I'll just wait till the big gun comes tomorrow night.'" And maybe, I don't think there are any big guns. I think we've got the guns ourselves and we need to use the guns that we're given. I like it, verse 12, "There's no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call to him." I believe that we are vessels of what God has for this world. Don't hang on to what you've got. If you've got something, I'm not saying you've got to go out tomorrow and do this in a supermarket. I'm not saying you've got to preach up here tomorrow. But I'm saying in this room is the absolute and total answer to Brexit, without a doubt. No two ways about it. What do we do about it? I have no idea. Get and pray, see what God wants to say to you. It might just be that you just have a little cup of tea with the lady next door who's worried a little bit about her pension because of possible change in economics. It may be that God wants you to pray for the government. I don't know. God will speak to you. But whatever he equips you to do, the answer is there. And I believe that the answer to the problems we have in the world today, it is the church. Jude 1, 22 to 23 is one that always impresses me. It said, "I have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the garment stained by flesh." In other words, realizing that perhaps those we meet on a daily basis don't have the answer, and we have the right, when God enables us with the strength and the right delicacy, to show our Jesus to the world. "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved," verse 8 to 13. Everyone needs salvation. You know, every person I've ever met in my life needs salvation. Every person will ever need, because we end this life and we need to know that we are forgiven. Mankind, many, many years ago, turned its back on Jesus, on God, same thing, and there needed to be a sacrifice. And God, in certain ways, right throughout history and right throughout the Old Testament, has said, well, this is a kind of a sacrifice, or that is, but none of it was ever perfect. The perfect sacrifice came along when Jesus died on the cross to pay the price for every mistake you and I have made. And when we ask him to be our Lord and Savior, when we ask him to direct our life, to come into our life, to be baptized, to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we not only get complete forgiveness, we get a knowledge that we're not going to go to hell, we're going to go to heaven. He's with us. His Holy Spirit gives us assurance, but he doesn't leave us there. He then says, "You have now the gun. Don't wait for the big gun. You've got the gun. Go around and use it however God asks you to." I had something incredible happen this week, and God, it's amazing. I want to share it with you without mentioning names, political names, but it's very, very important to know how to analyse this. The ministers in Romsey are on a rota whereby we pray at the beginning of the council meeting. Now, a council meeting takes place once every month, and then what happens is a particular church leader or minister, it was actually me a few days ago, goes down to the town council, and you sit there next to the mayor in the front of the council chamber, and the councillor there and people observing. And then the mayor says, and now we're going to have prayers. And see, what happened was, walking up the stairs, I noticed one particular politician of a particular party, and I broke the ice and said, "Hello, how are you doing?" And we're chatting. "I've seen you around Romsey. How's things? How do you like the new changes in the marketplace? And a few shops empty. What we're going to do about it? And it's nice to see you. Anyway, I'm from the blah 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 church, and I'm going to do the prayers." So I sat down next to the mayor, and the mayor said, Right, we're going to have prayers now. If anybody is against Christianity or doesn't want prayers to take place, can you leave now and come back in a few moments? And I knew that happened. So this man then stood up and walked out. Okay, he stood and walked out, and another lady walked out. I kept my calm. I thought, I have got to keep my calm. I'm representing the church. I can't do anything. I can't say anything. There's all kinds of things I want to do. I wanted to turn the table over, but I didn't do. I stood there, and then afterwards he came back in. And so I carried on with my prayer, and then I was very courteous. I waited through one part of the debate, walked out, was nodded to the mayor, thank you, Madam Mayor, and thank you, everybody, and I walked to the end, left it. What do I do? I was going to get on my computer, and I thought, yeah, I have two choices. To join them, or to get my gun. So I'm saying, God, I do not want to know what to do. I know what I want to do. I want to write to that particular political party or whatever it was, that particular group, and so, but I'm waiting for the Holy Spirit to tell me what to do. And I am going to befriend this particular man and talk to him. I will go and visit him regarding another issue in the town and then befriend him and say, by the way, I noticed you walked out. Because if I throw rocks at him and slander him, he's not going to want to come to heaven. You see, Jesus could have said, this lot have whipped me and put me on the cross and hurt me, therefore I don't love them anymore. I think there's kind of an element within Christianity of persecution, isn't it? That's not persecution. I mean, I've seen people persecuted. But standing there at a council chamber, reading the prayers while people walk out, that is not persecution compared to what some people go. But I'm thinking, what do I do now for this person? Now, I'm not going to read his name out publicly for fear of slander or anything else. I'm going to do that. But I want to pray for this person and meet him. And God will take that mess and turn it into a message. And I believe that somewhere down the line, he will stand up and say, God intervened. See, we are the answer. One answer will be standing up in the council chamber and saying blah, blah, blah. But then it's just like the House of Commons, wouldn't it? And that's no better. So I think the answer that God has given us to change the world is, and how are they to believe in whom they've never heard? And now are they that are hurt without someone preaching? How are they to do that without someone preaching? And how you preach to them and how I preach to them, God will tell you that. If you want to ask me how to chat to your neighbours and witness to them, you're probably better at it than I am. How do you do it? When do you do it? Should you do it? Well, of course you should do it. But do it in a way that God wants to, that God directs you. Now, what I'm saying is this here. Not get out on the streets, you naughty people. What I'm saying is, believe firstly that you yourselves have the answer. The answer, basically, I mean, as a church, we're doing quite a few things over the next few weeks in the lead up to Christmas. And obviously, we've only mentioned one thing today, but we will give you a list at some point. To demonstrate to the world around us that, yes, this political party says that. He says this. That philosophy says that. They've all got good and bad, but actually, the Bible says this. Actually, so I want to show you. See, the power that you have. Can you? Thank you. Brilliant. Okay. I was going to do all sliding in, but I didn't have time this morning. You have the God-given power to provide the answers. P-O-W-E-R. I would say the first thing is just pray. Pray for your family, pray for those around you, pray for the country. It may seem like a drop in the ocean, but I believe whenever God calls you to pray, he enables you. Acts 4, 26 to 29 says, the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers we gather together against the Lord, against his anointed. For truly in this city they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod, Pontius Pilate, along with the Gentiles, people of Israel, to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. And now, Lord, look upon your threats, grant your servants boldness to speak your word. In other words, pray that God gives you the strength to just pray, just reach out to God. And just say, God, I want strength. I know that the answer to what's going on in the country or to this problem with my relative or this issue, these people that argue in the office at work or school, I know that you're the answer. I'm rubbish at doing this Christian stuff and this evangelism, but Lord, help me. And Lord, I pray that you will enable me, Lord, to be a difference with them. Oh, opportunities. Take opportunities when they come up. I quite often have bumped into people now and You see, one particular guy at this one of these funerals I did, who is, himself is a non-Christian, and pretty much nobody in this room, all but about two or three, would know who he was, that he stood up and gave a tribute in the funeral. And he stood up and said this. He said, "You know what? I believe in reincarnation." Now I'm thinking, how do I deal with that now? Do I throw rocks across the House of Commons? Or do I get the gun? So I got the gun, and I went up to him after and said, I said, "Obviously, you know, you shared that." I said, "You obviously must miss Mum tremendously. And obviously you do believe that she lives on." I said, "I respect what you believe, but actually this is what I believe. This is what I believe the Bible's saying. And actually, I used to believe what you believe years ago. But I'll tell you what, can I ask you a really important question?" He said, "What?" I said, "This is a mega important question." He said, "What?" I said, "Have you tried the cake? It's flipping amazing. Come and have some." And we were talking, we were there. We weren't throwing rocks across the House of Commons. I got my gun out. And it's, now, how did I know how to deal with that? I didn't know. And I couldn't teach it. But the Holy Spirit, 10 seconds before, told me what to do. It's simple as that. We had a great conversation. And he went back. He heard what I thought was the truth. Word of God, know it and use it. Just read your Bible, God will speak to you, and he'll give you the strength, I believe, to just carry his message forward. You know, because, I mean, in Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed for man to die, and once after that comes the judgment. So Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time. So in other words, know what the Bible says about salvation, about life. Know it, understand it, and then share it. Example, be one that people can see. If I'd have shouted the man down at the pulpit and said, "Oh, I believe in reincarnation," and said, "Oh, that's a load of rubbish," you know, it wouldn't have been the right thing. What he remembers from me now is that I was somebody who was fun, who was warm, who was gentle with him, who didn't shout him down, who respected his point of view, but casually offered what I believe was the right one, as guided by the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I believe, I shared last night, David, I think, you know, those soul survivor trips there, in some of the pictures, David's picture was actually there. You know, and quite often we do, it's four trips we've done now, Johan and Laura came on the first one, but on the second, third and fourth, you came along, didn't you, to do the transport. And, you know, before David leaves to take his van back, we always take that big picture. And I was saying, as I said last night to some people here, David, you know, I is an example, I believe, of reaching out beyond his circumstances, in spite of, you know, any personal restrictions he may have. And I would say that if we've got something, we need to use it. I saw this tremendous example, and we'll finish in a moment, we'll have some worship and we'll pray. I saw this tremendous example once of extravagance and keeping stuff to yourself. Many, many years ago, and I won't mention her name, but it was a famous singer. I'm not going to mention, I don't mention names from the pulpit, because if I do, then I'd need to tell her beforehand. But it's a famous singer, came along from America and sang on Top of the Pops. Right? Now, Top of the Pops used to be a pop program and didn't have it anymore. She sung there. Now, she was on there for 20 minutes. Some of you are thinking, who is it? Who is it? It's no one is around now. But in order to sing on Top of the Pops, she had to have, I think it was 20 Mercedes flown across to take her and her entourage from the airport. She had to have so many of these plush white settees brought across from America and put in the dressing room at the BBC, because she was in there for sort of half an hour before, and then taken back afterwards. And I thought, what an example of extravagance. And I thought, Lord, I pray that I don't keep what I've got, because what I have got in here is absolutely the answer to everybody who lives in my street. You walk down your street, you knock on the doors, you have Mrs. Jones here, who's probably got a problem with her family. Next door, somebody who's not got no money. Next door, somebody who's got a real debilitating bout of depression that they can't go outside. Next door, you know, there's somebody there who maybe have some physical problem. Across the road, somebody whose relationship's broken up. Next door, somebody who's going through bereavement, and so on and so on and so on. I believe the absolute only answer to their eternal life, and to them and to Brexit, is Jesus in us. What resources you have, whatever resources you have, ask God to help you to share those resources. And I want to say to you today, Jesus is also your answer. Without a doubt, he is the answer to everything you face. And I would like to encourage every single person in this room to, you know, as I shared last Sunday morning, verse 10, John 10, the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I came that they might have life and life abundantly. And I would say that in Jesus is the answer to everything you face. Don't worry too much about one particular TV channel's opinion of what is going on, because I happen to know that certain channels, and I've worked in the media before, you know, can tend to be quite biased sometimes and give you one opinion, and you can go away worrying and thinking, oh, this is going to happen and this politician's doing this. Don't let it worry you. Get your nose into the Word, get into prayer, ask God, and just reach out to those around you. Whatever happens on October the 31st, those people with those problems are still living near you. The elderly lady you meet in the queue in Tesco will still be there the day after. And whatever happens, let God all sort it out. He knows what's going to happen anyway. When Paul Johnson preached about 3 or 4 years ago on a subject of prophecy, and one thing he said was, God knows exactly what will happen to every one of you in 2-3 months' time. He knows. And then somebody in the congregation went, whoa, that's scary. He knows exactly what's going to happen. So, and he's got a good future planned. He knows everything. So I just simply want to say again, read those words out that were in there in Romans. How will they call on him who they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they've not heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news, but they have not obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who's believed, who's heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. I have absolute and total 100% confidence, before I finish now, that God can protect me. God can protect me. My salvation is sorted. If he calls me to heaven tomorrow morning or in 20, 30 years' time, my salvation, I'm absolutely and totally convinced inside that if I was to die in a car crash today, I'll be with Jesus. I know it. And I know it because the Bible tells me, and I know it because he tells me in my time of prayer. And I know that he can provide for me, for my family. And I know that perhaps sometimes if prayers that we pray don't work out how I think they should, that he is there and he's with us and he's got the future sorted out. You know, and he loves my wife and my daughter and my whole family and all of you. But this security that we've got, we need to have the strength and the delicacy and the wisdom from the Holy Spirit to know how to share it to other people. And each of you work in offices and schools and stuff with different people. So I would encourage you, as we go through this period of turmoil in our country, yes, continue to pray for God's kingdom to come and for his will to be done in the country and Europe and whatever else. But please ask God's solution each time. And you have got Jesus in you. They need to hear the gospel. They need to see the security that you've got. Don't let that go. I mean, we've all got restrictions of some kinds. I've got restrictions, physical restrictions. You know, I went to Royal South Hants yesterday. I've got to have a particular tooth taken out and little things like that. And, you know, and it's just, I think, you know, what we have got, we are people that are broken, younger, older, this problem, that problem, some with more money, some with less money. But we are the answer to the world. Not the yellow party, the blue party, the red party, all the rest of them. You know, we are the answer. And they need our love, and the country needs our love.